Welcome back to the podcast.
I'm Harris. Jeff.
I'm Chelsea.
Of horror.
Okay, the podcast is Heirs of Horror.
Welcome back to the podcast, Heirs of Horror. Thank you for joining us in this new hunt. I am Jeff Wilson.
I'm Chelsea.
And tonight we watched...
Immaculate.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I liked it a lot. It was weird. I had a mix of emotions on this movie, but overall, I'll say right away, I would recommend it. I think it's worth a watch. So go see it while it's in theaters still.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it worth going to the theater to see this movie? I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the movie, I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I knew it was like about a nun.
With immaculate conception.
Yeah, but they did. I mean, honestly, they did a really good job of not giving anything away in the previews, because I did see the previews for this one. And I went into it not knowing what to expect at all. And throughout the first part of it, I did kind of find it to be slow. But at the end, it just ramps up. There's a lot of tension. And I will say, if you're sensitive to body horror or like gore, this may be not for you, because some of it's pretty intense.
It is a little intense, but even if you're not comfortable with that, you should go see it.
Yeah.
It's highly educational.
Yeah, it's a good watch. I enjoyed it. I didn't expect the storyline to turn out like that. I kind of thought it was just going to be like your traditional possession movie or like a haunted nun type movie. And boy, was that not what it was.
You are correct. It was not a boy, nuns, or female.
It was, yeah, it was definitely not that.
I'm not a big horror movie fan, but this is one worth watching, especially if you have friends that jump easily. Take them with you.
Yeah, there were some pretty good jump scares they used. I like it when it's not just, you know, like something jumps out at you. Like, they made a good use of sound, imagery.
Combination of everything.
Yeah, like they did good. So, yeah, I liked it. I think Sydney Sweeney's performance was really good. She did a fantastic job. I don't know. Just overall, I really liked the movie. So,
if by fantastic you mean made me uncomfortable, then yes.
She performed well. Yeah. I mean, she did well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away the ending, but there is a big screaming scene at the end, and she pulls it off.
Yeah. Job well done.
Yeah. I believed every second of what was going on. So...
Well, let's get into this movie. Should we spoil it?
Yeah, let's do the spoiler alert.
So if you don't want it spoiled for you, just end right now. Go see it in theaters and let us know what you think.
Yeah. It starts out with a nun trying to escape a convent. She's running and she gets to the gate and she's got a bunch of keys and she's scrambling to get this gate unlocked. And we see a bunch of cloaked...
Four. To be exact.
Maybe like the horsemen.
But they're not on horseback.
I know. But there's four cloaked figures walking after her slowly. So, you know, they're giving her some time to escape. At the last second, she is able to get through the gate. But her leg is still close enough for them to grab. And they grab it and smash it in the gate. So.
Yeah, they break her leg.
I don't think she escapes.
No. Because the very next scene is her being buried alive.
Oh, yeah.
In a wooden box.
I forgot about that part.
She does not escape.
You're right, yeah.
You are correct in your
Yeah, thinking. And a lot of screaming in that scene, too. And that's when it cuts over to the title.
Yeah, it cuts over to...
End credits.
Title credits, and then we see Sweeney, who is English, right, from America. She speaks English. The first opening scene is all in Italian, if any language spoken at all. There's not a lot of talking. And this is set in Italy as well. So there's a lot of Italian mixed in with English. Italian and English subtitles.
Yeah.
So she gets picked up by somebody from, what is it, the train station?
The airport or something like that? She's getting a new... She's getting rehomed in her nunnery because she... Her old convent closed, we find out during the movie. And basically, nothing bad happened. It just was low attendance. And so she's being placed somewhere else. And so she gets...
By her choice, too, mind you.
Well, by her choice, but, like, she was recruited. So the father that works at this, or the priest that works there, kind of
sought
recruited
her out.
Her.
Yeah. Recruited her, and she didn't have anywhere else to go. No family or anything.
Yeah, so she just decided, what the hell, might as well give it a shot. So she gets there, they kind of are giving her a tour of this place, and it's basically where old nuns go to die.
Correct. It's like an old folks home.
Yeah, so they take care of the old nuns, give them a comfortable life until they pass.
Until they move on.
Yeah, so it seems like a nice place, but we quickly learn it is not.
I feel like overall it is. You know, the function of this place isn't really affected much by what's going on underneath, if you will.
Yeah. So they do this kind of welcoming ceremony for her. She has to commit or
she takes her vows.
Yeah, retakes vows, committing to this convent. So she takes her vows and then they have a little party afterwards, which I was kind of surprised. They were drinking wine.
It's the blood of Christ, Chelsea.
I mean, it's,
nobody called it wine.
It's not.
No one called it wine.
Yeah, they weren't just having like a sip at communion. They were just drinking glasses of it. So it seemed a little weird, but you know, whatever. I'm not one to judge. I like wine. So they're drinking wine. She was talking to the priest. They're talking, you know, just about their life and their past and what brought them there.
Yeah, specifically how they came into where they're at now.
Yeah. She almost drowned in a frozen lake.
She did drown.
Well, she fell through the ice and she died for, what did she say, 7 or 8 minutes. And they were obviously able to resuscitate her. So then at that point, she knew that God had saved her, but she didn't know what for. Mm-hmm. So
we also find out that the priest was in biology.
Yeah, he was like a scientist before.
20-something years, he said.
And he couldn't find the answers that he was looking for being a scientist. So he switched to priesthood. So
yeah.
She starts wandering off towards bed and here's someone crying or like wailing, and so she goes into the chapel, and behind the chapel there's like this room.
It's like below the chapel.
Yeah, there's this room, and she sees someone laying face down sprawled out on the floor, and she goes up to the person, and the person has like a red mask on. Well, it's almost like she had like,
it's like a sock.
Yeah, like a stocking.
Like they were going to rob a place.
Yeah. Like red fish or like a red stocking over her face. So that was weird. And then she sees one of the other nuns.
The head.
Yeah.
Sister. Whatever.
And then it's kind of like a flash of a bunch of different weird scenes. Like one with her laying on a table, kind of like in a doctor's office. And there's like hands touching her and like grabbing at her. And then she's in a confessional booth with a priest, but then the priest is gone. And so there's just a bunch of weird stuff happening.
All those dreams or what have you started after the head nun handed her an iron spike.
Oh, yeah.
That they were claiming was one of the spikes that held like Christ to the cross kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So then she wakes up in her bed. Just like nothing happened. And a few days later, she's vomiting and finds out she's pregnant.
Yeah.
But she still has her hymen intact. So how could that be?
Yeah. She's questioned a lot by the doctor, by the father, the priest. I mean, and the priest believes it's Immaculate Conception, so they celebrate her, and she is treated way differently than all the other nuns.
Yeah, she is on a pedestal. She doesn't have to do anything. They basically just wait on her hand and foot, and you can tell she's not happy about the situation.
It is not what she wanted.
No, she just wants to be a normal nun. She's humble. Like, you know, she takes her vows seriously. She doesn't want all of this, like the accolades that she's getting. So it's just kind of becoming weird. She's getting more sick. Also, she keeps throwing up, and one time she threw up a tooth.
Yeah, so she's not getting the proper care during her pregnancy, and they will not allow her to go. There's one scene where one of the older ladies tells her, you know, that no one ever leaves, kind of thing.
Well,
there's some ominous signs happening too.
Well, so that happened. One of her nun friends kind of takes a stand and says that this is weird and she wants them to get the hell out of here. And she gets hauled off and we don't see her again. And then we see Sydney Sweeney, you know, she can hear someone like crying or like screaming. So she goes to investigate at night and she finds in like a barn thing.
Yeah, through a wooden wall.
Yeah. She sees that this girl's strapped down to a table and they cut off her tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. This is terrifying. Some weird shit's going on. I got pregnant and I didn't have sex. What the fuck kind of cult am I in? So she plans her escape. And the next morning, we hear her screaming from her bed. And she's all bloody. It's basically like she's bleeding, you know, like her...
Like she's had a major complication.
Yeah, like maybe a miscarriage or something. And they take her in a car. I don't know why. Like, they were going to call the ambulance. Well, one of the nuns was going to call the ambulance. But then the doctor and the priest are like, no, we'll just drive her. Which is weird. And so she's screaming and screaming. She's all bloody. And they're driving her to whatever hospital. And they're like, what happened? Like, hopefully she doesn't die on the way there. Meanwhile, the nun is sitting there just praying at the edge of her bloody bed. And
like breathing her blood in too. Yeah,
it's weird.
Because it's
It was giving Saltburn a little bit when she was like rubbing her face in the sheets.
Not the same level, but close.
I mean, it made me really uncomfortable. it felt weird. But then, yeah, because the nun was sad because she thought the miracle baby died. And so then she looks under the bed for some reason and she finds a dead chicken. So now she knows that she staged this whole thing.
It's chicken blood.
Yeah. So she calls the priest. The priest stops the car. Sydney Sweeney learns, oh, I know what's going on.
Until she bolts.
Yeah, she runs. And we see her running through this field. And then the two guys catch up to her and grab her and pull her back. So now she's strapped to a wheelchair. And they take her, they do some torture.
They wheel her into his lab. And at this point, we find out that he is trying to recreate Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the iron spike had some DNA on it, bone fragments and that kind of thing. So I don't know how. It never explains exactly how they impregnated her.
It's basically like Jurassic Park with Jesus, though.
Yes. So they've picked her based on her DNA.
Yeah.
And that it would match up with the DNA they found on this iron nail spike.
Yeah.
And so he's showing her all this, telling her all this. And then to keep her from running away, they take a branding iron in the shape of a cross and burn the bottom of both of her feet.
Yeah. So now her feet are all bandaged and bloody. And they just wheel her into her room and leave her there. They don't even help her to her bed. So she's just screaming and she's, you know, obviously in a lot of pain and very upset because now she feels trapped and she also knows the sick things that are going on in this place. Because also in the lab, you see all of these fetuses and jars and they're all...
It's from all the failed attempts.
Yeah. So Next, and also I like it because they keep kind of a timeline going. They say second trimester and then third trimester. So we kind of know where we're at during this pregnancy because it is kind of flashing forward. So now we're in the third trimester and she's just not doing well mentally. You can tell she's really just not there. And so she's getting a checkup done, an ultrasound. The doctor's there and one of the nun, or like the head nun. And so she's laying in bed. The doctor goes to get some medication. So he leaves the room. And Sydney Sweeney beats the shit out of this nun with a crucifix. It's like a really big one that stands up on her little bedside table.
She turns her head, her face into a bowl shape. It's caved in.
And you know, I kind of feel like it's a little metaphorical, like, don't fuck with Jesus because Jesus is going to beat you.
Well, they're playing God, trying to force something, you know.
Yeah, so she beats the hell out of this nun and then goes and finds, like, the head priest and strangles him with a rosary. And then the doctor catches her. So now she's kind of found out. And so also in the meantime, her water breaks. And so she's really fucked at this point because now the baby's on its way. So
she's pretty far along, yes, in her third trimester at this point.
Yeah. So now she is hobbling on these wounded feet. She's having contractions. Well,
they're scarred over at this point. The feet aren't bleeding anymore. But she is
working
through contractions.
She's still, her feet are, like, she's kind of limping still.
Some of it, I think, is just the fact she's 9 months pregnant.
Well, that could be also, yeah. And so she ends up going down into the lab and just pouring a bunch of...
She's going to burn it down. It's ethanol.
Ethanol, yeah. And then the scientist priest walks in and she ends up being able to trap him in there and lights it on fire. So we think, oh yay, problem solved. No, because then we hear, while she's mid-contraction, a fire extinguisher putting all of this out. And then he somehow busts down this big wooden door.
It's a steel door, Chelsea, and it was in old kind of concrete. So the whole door and frame and everything comes flying over.
And he is also burnt the fuck up.
On one side of his face, like, especially.
Come on. There's no way that while you're actively burning to death, you're going to be able to beat down a door. No. This is all bullshit. But anyways, so she decides to run. Instead of up the stairs and out into the wilderness.
Which is usually what you don't want to do in a scary movie is run up the stairs, right? But she went down.
Up the stairs is like to the main floor.
Right.
She goes down further into the basement, which we know is the catacombs.
Yes, because this place was built on the catacombs.
Yeah. And so she's running around this maze, essentially, with one flashlight that keeps going out and she keeps having to turn it back on. And the priest is chasing after her, all burnt up. She finally finds a little hole in the wall.
Daylight.
Yeah, in daylight. So she goes to start climbing out of there. Well, what do you know? The priest is right on her tail, pulling her back in.
Drags her back in.
Yeah, drags her back in, and he is going to start cutting open her belly.
Well, he does. He has a scalpel.
And giving her a C-section. Well, luckily for her, she still has that stake that went through one of Jesus's appendages, and she stabs him in the neck a bunch, and then
through the neck. He covers her in blood.
Yeah, he just splatters blood all over her face and dies. And so she...
But this is not until after he made like
an
incision. It's several inches long.
Giant.
I don't know how long for
and
sure.
And it went deep too.
But she still manages, like, were they...
Why did she wait so long to stab
him? She's two-term. And she still crawls up and through this hole in the wall. I'm like, that I don't think would be even possible.
Oh my God. No.
In that condition.
I mean, you don't know. Survival instincts kick in. You just maybe don't feel the pain anymore and you're just trying to get the fuck out and save yourself. I don't know. So she makes it out. And then we have like I don't know, 45 seconds or so of her just screaming. It felt like an hour.
The screaming scene felt like an hour.
It felt very long. And it was kind of long. I mean, she lets out like 3 or 4 good screams, and they're long screams. And it's kind of like she's hunched over the camera, so the angle's kind of looking it's up at her face.
Close up at her face. It's a good angle. Like, they did a good job.
It was zoomed in really close. And so you just see her screaming. And then you hear something kind of suction.
Fall.
Out.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. And then another important part during the scene is the baby or fetus, because we don't ever really see it close up.
We don't see it, yeah.
Doesn't cry.
It doesn't cry.
So it makes you wonder if it was even human.
No, well, it does make noises, though.
Yeah.
It makes this, like, weird...
It's a wheezing.
Like, grunting, gurgling noise. Yeah, kind of like it's like it needed, wheezing.
Like, I could see a baby making this noise if its airways weren't cleared. You know, they typically help clear the baby's airways.
I don't know. It sounded kind of evil to me.
That was their intent, for sure.
Yeah. It was almost like a pug. You know, like the snorting that pugs make?
Yeah.
But a little eviler.
So she's completed the birth giving and bites the umbilical cord.
But yeah. God. Talk about survival instincts. I don't know that I could do that. That's disgusting.
Well, it's harder when you're missing teeth.
Oh my God. Too. I know. She just chews that cord off.
And
then off.
Afterwards, when you're done and gone and you're kind of walking towards town, you just got some stuck in your teeth. Like, that's going to be the worst part.
Oh my God. The body horror in this is like terrible. Oh, and we also didn't mention at one point she pulls a fingernail off, but that's way in the middle.
You'll find
middle.
That on your own. We can't ruin all the surprises.
And so then she goes over and, well, she hobbles. She's not feeling great at this point. You can tell she's birthed a child. She's got a stab wound. I mean, there's a lot going on. She hobbles over, grabs this big boulder, and then walks back to the baby, which we kind of see laying there. And it looks bloody, obviously.
Dark in color. It's a movie.
I mean, well, and obviously, like, the baby would be bloody coming out, but it definitely gives, like, evil vibes, like the Omen child. Like, it doesn't look like a baby should. It looks a little bit more devious. Yeah. No, I know. And I know that it just came out, but it still seems a little bit more devious. So anyways, she walks over with that boulder and smashes it, and that's how it ends.
Yeah.
She's not letting that evil spawn stay alive.
Yeah, so to recap for me, it was a little slow, right? It does ramp up. And also, I don't know how they could make a sequel from this. I feel like this is definitely a one and done movie.
Yeah, I don't think that there'll be a sequel. But you know, it was good. It's a good standalone. I don't think it needs a sequel.
It's a good horror movie, especially for the month of March.
Yeah.
Being
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Go see it.
Yeah. This could have been in October and I still would have watched. I mean, it still would hold up, I think. So
it's out just in time for Easter.
Yeah. So after Easter dinner on Sunday, go watch Immaculate.
He almost rose.
He did for the second time, but he did not.
Which would be the end. It the would. Second coming.
But it,
so she just saved the world, potentially.
Okay, maybe so. I don't know. But yeah, overall, I think it was good. She did a great job. The movie itself, it's not what you would expect. I think that the storyline is very original. I don't think that I've ever seen a movie that's even remotely similar to this. So I think the storyline was good. I liked the way that it ended. Overall, it was a really good movie. So
would you watch it again in a year or a couple years?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't watch it right away. It's not one that I'd watch all the time, but I would rewatch it. It's good.
I'm going to give it a 10-year. 10-year
anniversary. I think there might be stuff that we would pick up on that, like, there's probably little nuggets in there that we missed watching it through the first time. So
I pick up that stuff all the time, every time I watch something. Yeah. Again.
Yeah. Did you think that she actually had immaculate conception, or did you think that
the scene something after was going the ceremony on. With the celebration stuff, I felt like she was maybe drugged.
Seemed a little rapey.
Because of the eyes that the younger priest was making at her, I feel like he did something to her.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was, you know, injecting something.
Yeah. Jesus's sperm?
That's not what it was.
I don't understand the science behind it, but it's just like Jurassic Park. They filled in the
DNA gaps with frog DNA. Right.
It's just like Jurassic Park. This baby was a mutant because it was coming out frog-like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go watch it. We recommend it. We both recommend it, which is not normally the case. So,
do we know what we're going to go see next? Should we spoil that as far as new haunts?
Well, the first Omen comes out in a couple of weeks, but actually I think there's something that comes out, maybe Long Legs is coming out in a week or two. I can't remember. There's quite a few things coming out soon. We've got Abigail, which is the vampire ballerina coming out. The first installment of the new Strangers trilogy. So there's lots of good things coming out in the next couple of months. I'm real excited for.
Yeah, it's exciting to do these short new haunt features. So a bunch more of them coming up.
Oh, yeah. All right, go check it out. Thanks for listening to the episode. Please follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Eras of Horror. If you like listening to us, check out our other podcasts, The Lost Eras and Down to Pod. And don't forget to rate and review.